This episode of the Honeydew is brought to you by Raycon, Upstart, Omax Cryo Freeze, and Manscaped. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it at Studio Nightpants. I'm Ryan Sickler. RyanSickler.com on the website, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, guys. So many of you already have, but if you want to watch the do every Tuesday, you got to go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/rsickler. We're starting to add time codes in the post now too. So if you got a favorite story from the episode, you can go look in the bottom of the post, and there'll be some time codes there where you can jump right to your favorite part. The Patreon show, The Honeydew with y'all. I'm having a great time highlighting the lowlights with y'all. I've had a few friends come on first while we iron out kinks and everything. But hell, so far I've talked to a guy whose father came out in his 40s, a girl who had two pussies. We had a guy whose wife developed an online video game addiction. I mean, shitty parents. We're getting all of it right now, and I love talking to you guys about it. So make sure you're subscribed to the Patreon show and send your stories. There's one place to send your stories, honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you or someone you know you think has a great story to share, submit it there. We'll go through it and hopefully eventually get you on and do an episode with you. Also, make sure you're subscribed to the Facebook fan page for the Honeydew and for Ryan Sickler. We got all the information coming at you over there. And then the website for the show is thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's where you can go find out everything and anything about the Honeydew, excuse me, including the merch. And I cannot thank you enough, Nightpants Nation. We're growing. We're growing. We're getting stronger and stronger. The mugs, these mugs are actually just a gift for every guest that comes on the show, but you guys have asked so much that we're going to get them in the merch store. They'll be up soon. You can buy the mugs. You guys have also asked about the gray hoodie I wear. It was just one that I have, but we're going to put gray hoodies up and night shorts. Y'all keep asking about night shorts. It's going to happen. Night shorts are going to happen. We're going to be a night pants, night shorts nation. All right. Now, if you live in LA, and you need musical instruments or lessons for you or your kids, go to Santa Monica Music Center. I record here. As you know, they're a family-owned business, been serving the community for 50 years. They're great people. And you can get online classes right now from trained Los Angeles musicians, all right? Not just guitar lessons. These guys, there's plenty of lessons you can get here, all right? And if you go to santamonicamusic.com right now and you use code Honeydew, they will waive the registration fee, and they'll give you one free lesson when you sign up for a package. If you have any questions, there's a website, a phone number on the website. Feel free to call them and talk to them. As I always say, ladies and gentlemen, these are the stories behind the storytellers. We're over here highlighting the lowlights, and today I'm super stoked to have this guest on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tommy Lee, everybody.
Hey!
I'm so excited, dude.
Thanks, Ryan.
Dude,
yeah,
first,
good to see you, man.
It's great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And also, thank you for putting up with me. I came to do Brittany's podcast like a week ago, and I wanted to I'm a respectful dude. I wanted to properly meet you as Brittany's husband, because I've known Britt for forever. And I was like, it's a pleasure to finally meet her husband. And then I was like, get out of the way, Brittany. Let 16-year-old Ryan Sickler be Tommy. And I hugged you, and you accepted it. And I appreciate the shit out of it.
That's awesome.
So thank you for being here, and we're gonna have some fun. But before we do, please, right now, promote everything. You got the new album out. Plug all of it.
Yeah. New record. It's called Andro. There's two singles that are out now. One is called Tops, featuring Push, South African rapper who spits serious fire. And another track called Knock Me Down, featuring Kilvane, which is a super, super heavy, almost screamo rock rap joint that's just, you want to break shit when you hear it. It's one of those.
Yeah.
But in anyway, the singles are out. The album drops October 15th.
Okay.
I think I can get in that date right. And the reason the record is called Andro is because one side is all male energy of the record.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking old school like vinyl, although it is coming out on vinyl also. Other side is all, one side's female, one side's male. And I remember just, you know, trying to sequence the record. You know, you got all this body of work done and I'm, okay, this track into this track. Okay, that's cool. Nah, man, that key doesn't work going into this track. And I spent forever trying to get it to just play down really dope, right? And at some point I just went, you know what, hold on a second. I just split the female energy and the male energy and kind of let them kind of dance on their own sides. And they rent it just, I was like, now it all makes sense. And so that's kind of where that organically came about, because that wasn't my intention.
Has that ever been done before?
I don't, not that I know of. That's somebody said Jack man. White may have done it, but I don't know that. I never heard of anyone
that's
doing
great.
It. So it's cool. So like whatever vibe you're in, there's something for everyone on the record. It's really cool.
That's great, yeah. Man. Good for you. I love that you're still doing. How old are you now?
I am 57.
57. Dude, you look great.
Thanks, man.
50 fucking seven. And I know that drumming and being on tour is hard work. So you got to stay in shape. So I have I have a million questions. But the first thing I want to say is this. Like, you're my favorite drummer. I mean, look.
Thanks, man.
I love... Rest in peace, Neil Peart just passed recently. Bonham was fantastic. I'm a big Mitch Mitchell fan because I just love Jimi Hendrix. You know, there's so many good drummers out
there. So many, man.
Buddy Miles, I was a big Buddy Miles fan. But you, yep. I came up with Motley Crue. I grew up on your music. I remember coming home every fucking day in the summer with Home Sweet Home being number one so long. I'd be like, here come the girls' titties. There's Tommy hitting the drum. Like, you knew, like they retired it. I think they retired it because you were so undefeated. Yeah, they were like, we got to give somebody else a chance. It's been 9 years. Yeah.
MTV for ever. We're like, dude. Ever, bro. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give somebody else a chance.
Right. Give somebody else a chance. Jesus Christ. You guys have been doing this for 2 years. It was on for I felt like my whole high school.
Yeah.
But you were always this larger than life figure in this rock band. But then you did that show, Tommy Lee Goes to College. And man, I was telling your manager, I loved it because you became like a person to me there. I was like, oh, because the thing was you didn't. And that's where this picture is from, University of Nebraska, where he went. Shout out to University of Nebraska.
Yeah, go Big Red.
And
that's so rad.
And that's when Segura and I were there. It's I kicked field goals on your stadium. I could have helped you guys win this year.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking like, oh, this will be a cakewalk for him. He's a fucking drummer. He's going to go drum in a marching band. What's the big deal? And then watching you struggle with that, struggle with the college life, but you took it seriously and you were frustrated. You were disappointed and embarrassed. You weren't like, whatever, I get to go back to LA and play in fucking Motley Crue.
You didn't treat
it like that. And I was like, damn, this dude's awesome.
Are you from Nebraska?
No, I'm from Maryland.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. I gotcha. I thought there was some other association there. I typically wouldn't do a show like that. It's just something that, you know, something I don't do. And then when I was approached about doing Tommy Lee Goes to College, I was kind of sold on the idea that, like, look, we're taking this rock star out of his element and we're going to throw him in middle America. First of all, I never went to college. I didn't graduate high school. I quit my senior year. I got a recording contract and I was like,
how far into your senior
year? I was like,
year?
Diploma? go rock the world. Let me think about that. Fuck that. I'm out. So
I just officially graduated, everybody. Yeah.
I remember my parents going, my God, you only have 3 months to go. Okay. Just finish school. What if this music thing doesn't work out? I'm like, oh, it's going to work out. So this is like, I'm like, So they're like, we're going to stick you in the middle America. People are going to bug the fuck out that, A, you're going to college. And I'm thinking, fuck, I never did get a chance to go to college. And I heard about rowdy college parties and shit.
I mean, that's a college town.
And I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? This could be really fucked up in a fun, weird way. I'd get to check out a semester of college, see what it's like, and freak some people out. So why not? And so ended up doing the show. And yes, I was put to the test, did the partying, got that in. Yeah, but like,
you had to. Those people would have never let you not do that.
Man, and I partied like a maniac, and I didn't really know about keg stands and college partying shit. Like, you know, they got
some stopping these little keg stands in our house. All right.
Pretty fun, but it was frustrating, man. It was crazy because, I did like, what did I do? Horticulture was one of them, which I love. I think I was a plant in a past life. I just naturally know, like we could walk outside now and I could tell you what the botanical name of that tree is.
Really?
Where I got that information from, I don't know. So that's why I must've been a plant. Chemistry. I'm like, oh, chemistry is going to be dope.
So you did get to pick your classes?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. I thought they just assigned them to you. They let you be a real student then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, chemistry, dude, I'm just picturing beakers, explosions, fucking crazy shit. Right. Okay. So, and of course, music. So let's go rock the drum corps. What else? Physics or some shit. I was like, oh, okay, let's do this. Way out of my league. But anyway, the music portion, I was like, oh, this is going to be dope. Because I did drum corps, marching band in high school and junior high school. So I'm thinking this is going to be a piece of cake but just on a college level. This is big. And it was everything I just did not expect. I was completely overwhelmed with, you know, I had learned in school how to read music playing piano, but never really drum.
Saw you on that Home Sweet Home video play that piano.
Yeah. I mean, I took piano lessons and shit like that. Drumming, I taught myself.
Okay.
So I never really did the technical sheet music drum stuff. So now I got this shit whipped out in front of me, and I got a drum captain, my buddy Ben, and he's just looking at me. I'm looking at this shit like it's Greek, and I'm Greek, and I don't understand it. And I'm like, dude, I'm lost. I have no idea what's happening here. And he's just looking at me, just shaking his head like, you're fucking Tommy Lee. You don't know.
Right. I'm like,
no, you don't understand. I play by feel, but you know, it's inside me. It comes out. I don't read it off paper and then play it, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is a totally different animal. And man, the frustration, insane. And you got all these drummers and they're all badasses. Like they got chops. They're not rock chops. They're not drum set chops, but they're rudimental, like these double triple stroke rolls, flamadiddles, just all this crazy shit. So that was a really frustrating thing for me as a drummer, just to be pretty much knocked back down to like, hey, this is a whole other side of drumming that you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, that's great. I loved it, man.
So, it's cool.
How are your grades?
Not so good, but I tried like a motherfucker. I did well in horticulture.
I was going to say, I bet you did do good in that. Yeah.
I had a tutor who was cute. That was a good part of it. So I did enjoy the sort of after hours studying, yeah, I guess you call it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I wonder why your grades suffered.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was really a cool experience. You know, I look back on it now and I'm like, I'm glad I did that. And I got a chance to see also the real side, like you said, yeah, the personal side of somebody who's, you know, frustrated and, you know,
and wanting to be professional and taking it seriously and yeah, not just hot dogging it for a fucking TV show. So many people just go on TV to be on TV. Like, you were like, if I'm going to do this, I'm really going to do this. And, yeah, and it came across. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is a good show.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I loved it. Thanks, so let's go back to the beginning. You're a Greek boy. So you were born in Greece?
Born in Athens, Greece, yeah.
And then you moved here when? How old are you?
Almost two.
Okay. See, I grew up with Greek guys in Baltimore. And I was said this on an episode before. Everything was Malacca.
Oh, that's Malacca.
Everything. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Malacca. Everything, Malacca, Malacca, Malacca. Every, like, I was like, Jesus Christ, you guys say it. And then, you know, we talked about it. It's like jerk off and everything else.
Yeah.
But everything was Malacca, but their dad owned this. It was in West Baltimore, too. It was in a rough neighborhood. They were Greek immigrants. They would do the whole lamb in the backyard and everything for Easter and all that shit. Like, in their yard, just right.
Beautiful. So, yeah, so right Greek yard, style, bro. Dude.
But he had a pizza sub shop, and we would go on deliveries and deliver them all around the city, and then he would just give us food. But his shit was the best Greek food, man.
Yeah, they'll marinate that lamb for like almost 2 days.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, there's no joke.
So both your mom and dad are Greek then?
No. My mom, full-blown Greek, father American.
Okay.
They're both gone. God bless them. But my father met my mom when he was stationed out there in the army, and they got married, had me, and then we moved to Los Angeles, and I've pretty much grown up here my whole life. So
then who was the person or what was the thing that got you into specifically drumming? Was it hearing it in some music, or was your dad into it, mom into it?
My dad actually played some drums in school in the marching band. Although he didn't really like teach me drums. It was weird. From what my parents said, as soon as I was tall enough, probably like, you know, when you're between the ages of one and two, you're able to start walking around and opening and closing cabinets. They said as soon as I was able to kind of get into shit, so I'm assuming around two years old, I was pulling out pots, pans, boxes, anything, and just wailing. They just said, you just started playing on everything that made noise. My poor parents, I must have driven fucking crazy.
But right? It worked.
Yeah.
If it didn't, it sucked.
Yeah.
Beat up all my Tupperware, goddamn.
I know. Yeah. Why couldn't you fucking pick the fucking flute or something? Why the drums? They were so supportive, though, man. I really had super dope, supportive parents. My dad, who's a mechanic, in services. And also for the LA County Road Department, serious mechanic, gave up for a man who's a mechanic to give up his man cave, which was the garage with all of his tools and shit. He gave it up. He gave me 3/4 of it and at least left enough room for his tools and all of his shit. And he built me a soundproof room inside the garage. So it was a room inside of a room. He didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know? And
but he did want you to play.
But he wanted me to play. You know?
And also keeping you home on the drums is keeping you off the streets.
True.
You know. Even though you still find the streets. It's just keeping you off the streets a lot less. Yeah.
But he was so supportive, dude. This is how crazy supportive. Fun, you know.
What's your dad's name?
David.
David, all right.
Yeah. And he, being mechanical engineer guy, we put together our first like little band, and we're like playing like high school dances and shit like that, and we're like, we need a lighting system, and we need like pyrotechnics. dude.
I love that you needed fire. We need fire, goddamn.
It's like fire.
Wait, so, what was that band's name? Do you remember?
It was called US 101.
The freeway.
The freeway.
Yeah. Man, what are we going to call ourselves? How we get here tonight? The 101. We're the 101. We're US 101.
Yeah. Dude, my dad gets these blocks. He's like 2x4 blocks, drills holes through them, puts these metal, like, kind of like the prongs through them. They're wired to a switcher box. Now you got these prongs coming up with a little, like, kind of guitar string wire.
Yeah.
Right? And as soon as you, and then the steel pipe, he'd cut like a mortar. Right?
For high school shows.
Yeah, so the shit would launch, right? And you set it on the, over the prongs, fill them up with a couple of caps of gunpowder.
Yeah.
And he's got the switcher box. And we're in my, okay, we're in my backyard, okay? And this is like.
Where do you live in California?
Covina, California.
I know Covina well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got, there's neighbors.
Yeah, a lot of neighbors.
We're all right, yep. You know, we, you know, middle class, family, urban, you know, I mean, really like small neighborhood. And there's explosions happening in the backyard. My dad's testing the shit. He's like, clear. And in my backyard, it's like, boom.
Jesus
Christ. I mean, he was so into it. He's like a little kid.
Yeah.
So he's making pyro. Then he built like a lighting system.
Took a chopper down in the service with this fire.
Totally, dude. Yeah. All his army shit was coming out.
Get the dynamite and the grenade launcher. The kid's got a show tonight. He couldn't wait on that.
Oh, he had the best time, man.
That's what I would do too. Wouldn't you figure out a way if you didn't play an instrument? You'd be like, I want to be involved in this.
Yes,
man. Let me get my.
If I could help my kid, like, and do whatever I could to make it super badass for him,
awesome,
I would.
Man. And that is awesome. Yeah. You're so lucky to have a dad like that, man.
Dude. Blessed.
So you would do backyard shows back in the day?
All the time. Backyard parties.
So let me ask you this.
Parties.
Because you said David Lee, and then it made David Lee Roth pop into my fucking head real fast. But a friend of mine told me, her brother's older than we are, and said that they used to play, because they came up out here obviously as well, but he used to go see them at backyard parties back in the day, sort of as they were forming Van Halen. You guys would play back. I mean, so there are people out there that saw Tommy Lee play a backyard high school party in Covina, California.
Oh, yeah. All over the place.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man.
All over the place. And Vince, my singer in Motley.
Of course.
He was in a cover band called Rock Candy, doing the same thing. Backyard kegger parties. So people had seen us doing that kind of stuff. And one day putting together Motley, I'm like, man, I went to school. We're looking for a singer. We're looking for a singer. And I'm like, I know this dude, man. All the chicks love this dude. Like, he goes to my school. He's fucking dope looking, has a killer voice, sings awesome Cheap Trick covers. And like, just like, and you know, he's just killer. I think we should grab him. And so we stole him out of his band. And he came and auditioned for Motley, and the rest is kind of history.
But I mean,
we were doing the same thing, same age, doing the same.
The four of you.
Yeah.
At that age. So people saw the original Motley crew at backyard parties?
Well,
was everyone in at that time?
Everyone was in a band doing something at that time. Yeah.
And then you all came together and boom.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. And the best part is if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Raycon. So whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your friends listening to, your kids are listening to, the person next to you is listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, but before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Look, I use my Raycon earbuds. I use them all the time. I was traveling with them. I still use them to exercise. I use them around the house. I use them for calls. Honestly, they're my favorite earbuds I've ever had. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and then they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands that you know. But their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, they're perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts like The Honeydew and The Honeydew with Y'all. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You've heard me talk about how the company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop, Cardi B, Brandy. They're all obsessed with Raycon. So pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/honeydew. That's buyraycon.com/honeydew for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the do. I mean, I just, you know, when I got LiveWire the first time, I was like, Jesus, I want to ask you, because On With The Show is just, it's just one, it sticks with me every time it comes on. Right, it is a good one, man. It's so fucking raw. Is that, it is about a real friend, right? Is that, or is it loosely about someone?
Loosely, yeah.
That's such a great fucking song.
It is. That's it's a great melody, man. I love that one.
Your shit is so fucking
good. And it's got that, what am I thinking of? Who was that? Pretty Woman.
Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison. That beat. God. For some reason, that's just like, that beat works on just about anything, man. It just, I don't know what it is about it. It just drives. It's one of those beats. And so On With The Show, that I Want The Show.
It's so good, dude. And then obviously on and on and on. But the thing that always I liked about you too, you had the Mighty Mouse fucking shit.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Underdog and the Underdogs. And you're a big fan, obviously, of the Underdogs. That's what this show is really all about, the Underdogs. So one of the things I love that you said is that you put a lot of people that are unknown on the new album.
Yes.
Record. You keep saying record. I keep saying album.
Yeah.
Is there a difference?
Hell no.
Okay.
Same thing.
You can call except whatever for the fact that we're dating ourselves by saying record and album.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I guess so. But not so much, man. Vinyl's making a massive comeback. It is.
You're right.
So
a lot of comics.
So we're cool.
We're cool. Putting albums out. I can say albums. Tom Lee said I can say albums.
Yeah.
So some of the artists that you have on that you really like, and how do you find them? You know, because we talk about comics, they all, you know, there's a good community of comedians that pull each other up, which is really fantastic. And that's what you're talking about doing with musicians. But you also are finding people from all genres of music. Yeah, I love that about you.
That's cool that comedians do that. And I'm a big Underdog fan. I do the same thing. I'll find, for some reason, I'm a shit magnet. For some reason, shit fucking just finds me or whatever. Yeah. But I'm also like, you know, another kind of magnet where it'll find me, or I'll gravitate towards something that's that draws me beat wise or style wise or sonically, and I'll be like, whoa, that's dope. And no one fucking knows about it. Just and I have a collaboration list of people that I want to collaborate with. And I'll find people. I'll find them on the internet. Somebody will turn me on to something that finds something else. Like, you know, you go down a rabbit hole of stuff. Anyway, so as I'm making Andro, as I'm making the record, you know, I'll have a track and I'm like, oh my God, this person would absolutely murder this track. And so let's take Knock Me Down, that's out now, for instance.
Is that literally the one I saw the video of Britney pulling you out of the fucking chair? Is that Knock Me Down?
Yes.
It is, right?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's the other thing I said. It's the first time I've ever seen this mega rock star look like every other married husband out there. Yeah, pulled you out of the chair. And it looked like it hurt like a motherfucker. Dude. And you were just like, and you just shook your head like, God damn it, just got yourself back up and went right to the table. And she's banging back there like crazy.
That's how we are. She's fucking crazy town.
And violent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like to make your wife laugh. She's one of those punchers.
Dude.
We talk about
it. I know. I'm like, that hurt.
Yeah, hurt. She's like, the silent laugh with the, and then it's like, bah, right across your fucking jaw.
All the time. Yep. Or just hits you hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Thanks, Britt.
Well, at least she does it not only to me. Consistent. She does it to everybody. It's good. Good. Yeah. What was that? Oh, The Underdog. Yes. And that is the track. I just hit him up on Instagram and
wow, you just straight reached out like that?
Yeah, well, and the funny story is he told me later, he's like, got a message from me, a DM from me, and he's like,
I wouldn't believe it.
He goes, no, this is some fake Tommy Lee account bullshit.
It's Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah, right? And then he looked it up and he's like, oh, fuck, that's him. And he hit me back. He's like, dude, yes, fuck, what's going on? I said, let me send you this track. This track has your name.
You had never met this guy.
Never met him.
Fuck yeah.
But I
love that about you.
But I heard his shit. Right, and I'm like, this
and now with Instagram and social media, you're one step away instead of having to get your rep or your manager to find this person to go, take 3 months to get a guy on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
I know.
But. Yeah. If not longer.
Right.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
So I hit him up. He's like, God damn. So I sent him the track. I'm like, dude, this track has your name all over it. He's like, he heard it. He goes, done. A day, 2 days later, he lives up north. He's at my house and we bang the track out. Same with the other track, Tops with Push Push. I've been following her for a couple of years, just watching her and listening to her. I dig her style, everything. Same thing. I got this super sexy, sick, dance kind of electro sounding track. So I reached out to her, sent it to her. She's like, oh man, this is fucking badass. Let me at it. And same thing. Over to the studio. Done. And that's been kind of the theme here, with, you know, people I've wanted to collaborate with or, just found randomly. It's pretty much everybody. There's the only the only person that's on the record that anyone might know is his name's Lucas Rossi, and he was the singer for a show I did on NBC called, I don't know if you remember, it was called Rockstar Supernova, where we were looking. It was me, Gilby from Guns N' Roses, Gilby Clark, Jason Newsted from Metallica, and myself. And we were looking for a singer. That was the premise of the show. And we picked Lucas out of everybody. We did a record with him and stuff. Anyway, Lucas makes an appearance on the record. So that's one of the names people might recognize. We did a Prince cover that's fucking insane.
Can you say what song?
The song's called When You Were Mine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is typically kind
used
of
to
a...
let you wear all of my close.
Yeah. Yes. And which is typically kind of happy, like when you were mine.
Yeah, it's definitely right. Poppy and upbeat.
Well, we slowed this shit down, and it is a fuck song. Man, I'm telling
Prince
you,
Prince will be proud.
It is so, dude. He would be like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
It's down tempo. It's super sexy, and of course, Lucas sings the shit out of it. So that might be one that you'd recognize everybody else on. Oh, another guy, Pavin. He's from a group called the Foreign Beggars. Big. Your rap guys out of the UK, but other than
Mickey Avalon,
Mickey Avalon is another one people would know.
Brooke Candy,
mm-hmm. Yep. There's some people that you'll know, and there's some underdogs that you won't know. But
so I asked you earlier before we were recording, had you ever auditioned for a band and been cut or anything? And you were like, no, I got pretty fucking lucky. So. What are like?
I did audition once on fucking frying on mushrooms, and I thought I thought for sure I wasn't going to make that, but they dug me. I got hired. I just everyone was like, yeah, let's do some mushrooms. I'm like, all right, and I don't think I had ever done any, so I'm thinking, well, what the fuck? All right, sure. And so we do them, I don't know, probably about 15, 20 minutes goes by. We're hanging out, talking. We're like, all right, well, let's go play. And I'm pretty cool as we start, but as now the fucking the shrooms are kicking in. And, dude, everything starts to fucking get super glitchy on me. Like, everything's like. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, I'm just bugging out, and I'm like, dudes, I can't do this. Like, I'm fucking high as fuck. And everybody was high, and they're like, ah, no, it's all good, man. It's all good. And it ended up getting the gig. I don't know how, because I could barely, somehow I was playing, but in my mind and my eyes did not look like what was happening.
They might have been on acid and thought it sounded amazing.
Everyone was kind of
is great.
Everyone was high, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it was like the, you know, it sounded like some Grateful Dead shit, and they were like, "Oh, this is dope. He's cool. He can stay."
I want to tell you. I can't believe I get to tell you this story, because this is burned in my brain. So I went to see you guys probably early 2000s at the Forum.
Mm-mm.
You came back on tour, and I was hoping you would do the whole rig, and you did and everything. But I grew up in Maryland, so you know Heavy Metal Parking Lot. I'm sure you know that video. Okay. Those kids are a little older than me, but same people. You know, those kids had kids. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Those kids had kids.
Oh, yeah.
I'm that generation.
I got you.
And Cap Center's where we would go to the Dead shows and stuff. If that's whenever, if you wanted drugs, that's where you would go get it. The Dead come to town, we go to the parking lots. Everybody's getting their opium, their weed, their acid, their whatever. Selling peanut butter and jellies, whatever.
Drug salads.
Right, totally. So I grew up with the Heads and the Dirts and all the Headbangers and the hair metal guys, and I loved all that music too. And I go to see you guys at the Forum, and I get to the parking lot, and it's like 1980 all over again. I'm like, oh my God. It was like all those people came from wherever the fuck they live in Southern California and collected in this one parking lot. It was Camaros and everything else.
Dude, I love it.
It was the best. I was like, this is a fucking straight up flashback. So there's... There's this drunk chick, this white, big, fat girl, and she's trying to fist fight people, and she is just rowdy as shit. She's fire. She's one of those people you're like, oh, man, you ain't even going to make it through the show.
You know? It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. She's out there trying to fight guys and stuff, and she's just a mess, right? But she's wearing, half naked, fat as shit, and wearing these... She's so big, she's wearing snow boots, you know, like the cheap vinyl ones you could get at Kmart that are navy blue with like snowflakes on them, and they have that like that material.
Oh, no,
like, that's what she's wearing, right?
No.
So we go in, whatever, show started, and if you've ever sat in the Forum, the old Forum, when you sit on the end row, the stairs come down, like you can rest your elbow on the steps right here.
Gotcha.
It's so old, you know what I mean? It's not elevated. You can sit like this.
Yeah.
And I'm high as shit. And
of course,
you know, when you, of course, I'm going to do you guys right. You know, when your eye just turns into a camera and I get that close up look and I just hear something coming down this, cause you go down. I hear something coming down the stairs and I hear this boom. And I look over and there's the fucking boot and it's her and she's coming down our room. I'm like, get the fuck out of it. She sits right over there next to us the whole time.
Oh no.
The worst chick.
Oh no.
But I'll tell you, when you got up in that fucking rig, man, it's crazy. Here's what I want to know.
Was that the one where I was flying from drum kit to drum kit?
Yeah.
The big tent.
Are you
Carnival of Sins tour?
I think it was. Maybe I think 2000? It was Carnival's early 2000s.
Something like, yeah.
Three, four, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yep. That's probably the one.
Dude, have you ever messed up on stage to a point where it's so noticeable you're just like, fuck.
Not messed up as in like fucked up apart, but messed up as in, and gotten fucking really, really hurt several times.
From doing that?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
What happened?
Hold on. Hartford, Connecticut. Dr. Feelgood tour. The drums are 60 feet.
Yeah, they're way up there.
70 feet high, going all the way out over the audience's head to the person in the fucking back of the arena.
So you're right here to that person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
Stevie Wonder section. No one. You're so far back in the back of the arena. The band's like this big. Right.
Before they had the big screen. Yeah. Well, back then they might.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just. That was just starting to happen. But like, there's shitty seats. So my objective for that whole drum thing was, I'm gonna make the person in the fucking shittiest seat in this place have a front row ticket. So I'm doing this, and the drums go all the way out to the back. They're rotating, and then coming back. Once the thing's over, I step off. I step off the drum kit, and I put my foot in a strap. It's like a bungee cord, and I let go, or I just jump on it and go, and kind of rappel. And there's a guy down below with the handbrake, and he hits the brake. As soon as I just get right to the ground, it just shoo.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I'm doing this, and this is in Hartford. I'll never forget it. I'm doing it, and I don't feel the handbrake kick in, and I'm like, oh fuck, something's wrong. So I just decide, I pull my foot out of the strap, and I figure I better get my foot out of the strap, and just sort of like, if I can just kind of eject here, maybe I can get and try to land like a cat or something, because this is going to get fucked really quick.
Your legs are going to go up your asshole.
Yeah, if I'm stuck with my foot in a rope, I'm going to like reverse hang myself. Yeah. I don't know. All I know is I got to get out because this isn't cool. And so I went to get out, and the heel part of my foot was still in the rope. And I slammed my head on the concrete of the arena floor. Out, concussion, out.
Damn!
Show's over. I wake up in the ambulance, and they're
What's the last thing you remember? That, the fall?
Was jumping off and looking down and seeing everybody, seeing the crowd.
And nothing else.
And nothing else.
So did you make it back to the stage?
They came and got me. I woke up in the ambulance and I was like, what happened? They're like, oh dude, take it easy. You just had a crazy, crazy fall. I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta get back there. We got a fucking show to finish. Right. And they're like, no, dude, no, that's a negative. So yeah, I had a concussion and spent the next 2 days in Hartford, recuperating. And somebody, you know, when you have a concussion, you're not supposed to go back to sleep. So somebody just keeping me awake.
Yeah.
I just kind of stayed awake for, you know, a day and a half or so and back at it. But that and the tour you saw when I was flying from drum kit to drum kit at the very end of the last time of this last kit on cue in my ears, we have an audible saying 3, 2, and on one, I get yanked from a harness off of it. the lights go black, and it looks like I get blown off the thing, and I'm just gone. So in the dark.
Like your dad's out there with his pyrotechnic. Yeah,
here comes the grenade launcher.
Yeah. So there's this, like, you know, it's like a stunt thing, you know, those harnesses that pull you, look like you get blown off. Well, the lights go black, so you don't want people to see you getting blown off. You just want to just be blow up.
But when they're black like that, can you see anything?
I can't see shit.
Right, yeah.
So 3, 2, 1 is a blackout for the lighting director. Lights go black. I get yanked in the dark, and the ship blows to pieces, right? Well, I get the audible cue, and... the lights go black. I don't get yanked.
Oh,
and
shit.
I just take a fucking several huge pyro shots to the face.
What? For real?
To the face.
Your dad would have been proud.
No eyelash. No eyelashes. No eyebrows.
Front of my hair. Are you fucking serious?
Singed, no.
You can
arm
see
hair.
That just coming up at you. You can't move. You
Dude,
can't do shit.
There's nothing.
Oh, my God.
I can't jump.
Yeah, you're dumb.
I'm connected to the thing that didn't work. And so I'm like,
holy,
I just fucking just,
shit, dude.
Just took the hit. So the second, third degree burns down my hands. Like,
holy,
it was just a
fuck.
Bad. Thing. So not embarrassing as in like a, oh man, you fucked that part up. Just embarrassing moments of like really fucking yourself up.
Yeah, that's scary shit. That could be death.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
I'm a bit of a thrill seeker. I like it. Otherwise, I wouldn't fucking keep doing it.
All right. Have you skydive, you bungee, you
yes.
do all that stuff?
Yeah.
Would you bungee jump again?
Oh, yeah. In a second, I'm trying to get my wife to go. And she's like, there is no way. I'm going, listen, we're going to Australia to play this year. Next year, next summer, the tour. And I'm taking you. New Zealand's got one of the highest spots you can jump from. I think it's, I want to say 400 or 500.
Fuck that.
And she's like, oh, hell no. I'm like, no, we're going. You are going. We're going to get over this fear, and we're going. So, yeah, I love all that shit. Six Flags, Magic.
I love amusement parks,
I'm a roller
for sure.
Like, I'm a fucking junkie. Anything to get scared and just, you know, have a little poo-poo in your pants. Like, I'm down with that.
I got a whole bit about Tattoo, that fucking roller coaster at Six Flags. I almost shit myself on that fucking thing.
Did you?
We had a weed brownie before we went on, and it was all bad.
Oh,
it
dude.
And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's a gnarly one, though.
It is.
That's gnarly.
The advancement in roller coasters, that's why I say the time. Like, from this, I remember we used to go to King's Dominion in Richmond, Virginia, like outside of Richmond, Virginia. That was the closest one to us. And it was a big park. Eventually, Paramount bought it. There's like a King's Island, I think, in Ohio. Yeah. And
yes,
then the King's Dominion.
The
yeah, I think that's their like the sister, like Busch Gardens and shit like that. You
gotcha.
Know?
Yeah.
And it was called the Rebel Yell, and it was an old wooden coaster, just like the one that was out here forever, Colossus, I think it was, right?
All rickety and shit.
Rickety as fucking your neck. And then it would go backwards.
That was the
big thing. And then we had the one called the King Cobra that you just start at the top, and then you did one loop, and that was it. And you went back, and it was done. Now, they're trying to rip your asshole out of you on these things.
Oh, yeah,
And you know they're loving it. They're like, oh, let's see how close we can get to before these guys
just
shit themselves.
Just blow chunks.
It's nuts,
If they didn't blow chunks, the roller coaster architects are like, we failed.
Like, if they're not throwing
miserably.
Up shit and we're not doing our job.
Shit themselves and puking, then
three people shit themselves today. Talking about, man.
Yeah.
Nailed it. I know what I want to ask you, because you're a big guy. How tall are you? 6 what?
6'2".
Did you ever get in fights? Were you a fighter a lot, or were you the guy that could, because you're also funny, could you talk your way out of it? That's a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
I mean, I got in a lot of fights, though.
Yeah. I love to scrap.
Me
man.
Too, dude.
Especially, but, you know, I don't know. As soon as you start drinking Jack Daniels or tequila, someone will just look at me and I'll be, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, and they didn't even say anything.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like,
checking out the menu behind
I'm
you.
A fucking shit stirrer, you know, just add alcohol and like, here we go. I love, that's fun. It's just fun just to fucking scrap out. especially when you're with a couple of buddies, because then you feel like a little bit more of a
for sure.
And you know, and my bros are going to kick your ass,
right?
But yeah, that's a good fight. It's fun.
So, all right, can we talk about marriage?
Sure.
All right, you've been married 3 times.
Yep.
What made you keep going back? Did you ever, well, let me ask you this. Did you ever think you'd be married a third time? After number 2, did you think you'd be married a third time?
No. No, I didn't. I was like, you know, maybe I'm just not meant to be married. Why am I not getting it right? You know, it's not the right partnership. You know, marriage doesn't come with a manual. It's not like, you know, it's just, yeah, and it's a lot of work. You know, they just don't magically just work, right? So, yes, to answer your question, no, I was just kind of like, you know what, fuck me. I'm just going to be single forever. You know, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm the kind of guy who's never home anyway. I'm always on tour.
Yeah.
What's the point? But, you know, it's like owning a house. I'm like, why do I even have a house? I'm never fucking at it. That all changed when I met Brittany.
Another quick break to tell you about our next sponsor, Omax CryoFreeze. Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect your whole life. Many of my listeners probably have some type of pain that has prevented you guys from relaxing and sleeping or stopped you from exercising. Perhaps it's been ongoing for a few weeks now and hasn't improved with any of the treatments you've tried. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple-action pain relief roll-on is specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part is this 100% natural CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, much longer than the over-the-counter products. Look, I use this all the time. I use the roll-on. I've been telling you about it. On my neck and shoulder right here, I've been using it. My buddy Eric Abrams, what's up, Abrams, hit me up and was like, dude, give me the real deal. Well, I did, and guess what? Chronic user now. Chronic user. All up and down here, man. It helps so much. Tight muscles, nagging injuries, all that stuff. I promise you this stuff works. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off of a full body cryo-free CBD pain relief roll-on plus free shipping. This discount also applies toward any product site-wide. So here's what you got to do. Go to omaxhealth.com today. Enter code HONEYDEW. That's omaxhealth.com. And enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide. Our next sponsor supporting the HONEYDEW is Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Look, I've used some of these other trimmers before, and I mean, my taint was tattered. Okay, all bloodied up, chopped up. What are you talking about? That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. All right, that's a great way to spend 18 months. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents, thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. When I tell you this is premium, I mean it's premium, all right? This battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. Some of you, after this quarantine, are going to need up to 90 minutes. Manscaped's got you. The water-resistant technology allows you to groom in the shower. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because the intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you are listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off and free shipping with the code honeydew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
Just the craziest thing, and it's almost embarrassing to say, but I fucking met her. I've followed her for fucking years on Vine. And just like,
listen, Brittany is Vine.
Exactly.
Brittany is fucking Vine. Like, I didn't even know about Vine. I was like, you mean Brittany? They're like, yeah, but she is Vine. I was like, yeah, she's Vine. Yeah. She's fucking Vine. Yeah. Because I bust her balls all the time. I'm like, Heather Locklear, Pam Anderson, Brittany Furlock.
I know.
I love it, bro. I feel
bad. She hears that dumb shit. She hears that shit all the time.
I mean, she knows what comes with it. So wait, you followed her on Vine. You were on Vine?
Yeah, for years.
Dude,
you're
into all of it. You got your finger dialed in on shit, dude.
Yeah, and I followed her. I was like, she's super fucking funny. She's hot as fuck. And anyway, I'm just, my kids that are 24 and almost 23 are like, you know, I'm single, just still like kind of dating here and there, blah, blah, blah. I'm just doing the thing and having fun and all, but I'm just nothing serious. They're like, Dad, you need to get on this app. This is my fucking kids telling me this. You need to get on this app. It's called Raya. And I was like, the fuck is Raya? They're like, it's all like people like you, Dad. Like, it's only like, you know, actors or athletes, or they're only like professionals on there, musicians, like da 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 da. You know,
Stevie like, Nicks is on there.
People like you, and you got to get vetted and you got to get approved. Okay. Like, it's like, there's just not everybody's on there, fucking whatever, right? So I'm like, all right.
Wow, so, you were willing to do it, huh? Yeah, I was like, all right, good for
I'll
you,
take
man.
The boy's advice. Yeah. Why not? See what they're talking about. So I get on the thing. It's like, I don't know, 2 weeks goes by and I get the, you've been, whatever the fuck it is, certified, approved, whatever. And I was like, oh, cool. So I'm flipping around on here and I'm like, no way, that motherfucker's on here? What? And I'm bugging out, like, and all these people are.
Sir, Mix-a-Lot?
Fucking. fucking. Single and shit, right,
yeah.
right?
And I'm like, and looking, fucking, and looking,
and
yeah,
looking,
right?
And I fucking all of a sudden, there's like, get the fuck out, Brittany. I see Brittany, and I'm like, no fucking way. And I'm like, hey, it's Tommy.
And you know that's legit because you're on a service that's been vetted. So if they hit you up, it's that person.
This is the real deal.
Right.
And so,
you're not being catfished.
Yeah, I think I invited her to, I was playing a LA Pride thing with Brooke Candy. I was playing drums and my buddy from Danny Lohner from Nine Inch Nails playing guitar for her. We did this thing at the LA Pride. And I said, I was like, that probably might be a cool place to meet, because I'm not really cool with the little like one-on-one weird thing. Like, hey, so nice to meet you. So I'm like thinking it's a good spot. She fucking shows up with, first of all, I'm looking everywhere for her. I don't fucking see her. I know what she looks like. I'm looking for this fucking pretty brunette girl, right? And nothing. I'm thinking, fuck, she blew me off. What the fuck? And I get a tap on the shoulder. I turn around and I'm like, and it's this fucking, she's wearing a fucking clown wig that's this big.
Of course.
You know, like multi, you know, got like the rainbow colors for Pride, right? And she's like, hi, it's Brittany.
That's
and
your I was first like, meeting.
That's the first meeting. So I'm like, okay, I see where this is going to go.
Well, you got the real person right away.
Like. Yeah, and I'm like, and we so it's been it's been all love ever since, man. She makes
you really
she
do
makes
seem
me
like you're yeah.
She makes me laugh, and you know what, dude? Laughter is priceless.
It keeps you young too, bro. It keeps you young.
It makes your face hurt a lot.
I mean, I see it makes her back hurt a lot too when she's ripping you out of your fucking chair in your studio, dude.
I know. Every fucking day it's something with her.
Yeah,
you know her.
Yeah, but you know her way different than I do. You guys were telling some story. What's the red worms? You were telling some story before we started.
She's got this thing. I think she's like a closet exhibitionist. She doesn't do it to everybody, although she fucking, for some reason, wants to share her. I call them red worms. When she has the, you know, that time of the month, she'll fucking take pictures of this. I mean, or she'll just come out, just bring the panties in and be like, oh my God, look. And I have such a weak stomach, dude. I'm immediately like, I'll throw up, and I have. Like, I'm getting teary eyed right now. Oh yeah, disgusting. And I don't know what it is with her. She likes to share that with me. Maybe because she wants to see me throw up.
Maybe,
and I maybe think that's the maybe that's the thing. Yeah. But then she'll send me pictures of her poop too, and I'm like, and I'm like, why? I don't understand. Why are you
definitely married?
Why are you sending me a picture of her, of your poop? And dude, and it's a poop. I wish it's a poop, like it's coming out of the water, like like by this that much. I'm like,
once a month.
As I'm gagging, I'm like, is that? What is that?
It's disgustingly impressive. That
could not come out of this little tiny thing. Jesus. Put it this way. We share everything.
Clearly.
Literally.
But you said something that blew me away. You said you had never seen that. No girl.
No.
Has. So.
I mean, I've, you know.
Of course. I was telling you, like, the first time, as a man, you get an education on women going through life, and hopefully you do meet one that can tell you, like, look, man, this is what it's really fucking like. And I remember having sex with a girl on her period, and when we were done, I looked down, and there's a fucking, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was like, it looked like a purple bloody leech, and my knees buckled, and I was like,
what the fuck is
what that? What is that? Are you okay? And she's like, oh, it's just a clot, and wiped it off like it was dust.
No big deal.
I mean, like, it was nothing. I was like, and then I went up and showered, and I just remembered looking down and seeing blood, and I was like, oh my God, this is sex. Oh my
God. Similar, I mean, we've all had that kind of a thing, but these are extra big. I don't know what the fuck is crazy. I mean, I've had that kind of experience where, like, you're eating a girl's pussy, I'm in the hotel room, and you've ordered fucking more fucking rosé or whatever, and fucking room service guys at the door. And I've answered the door, just look like a fucking axe murderer just from eating pussy. And it's like, you don't know it, but there's blood all over your face, and the room service guy's like this, thinking somebody's died in there.
Tommy Lee just killed somebody.
Yeah, right. Here you go. Sign the thing. Thanks. Bye. We've all had those experiences, but her, I don't know. Endometriosis. Yep. It's wild.
Yeah. I just had a girl named Jess Danner, who was on the Honeydew with y'all talking to us. And I was telling you, she had these crazy health problems, and it wrapped around her insides, and she had to have all these special surgery. I mean, we're lucky. We are every day. I'm so glad I'm a guy. I'd be the worst woman anyway. I'd be a pig. I'd be just. I wouldn't take care of myself. Like, I'll cut those toenails.
Yeah, later. No, they, man. It,
bless here, all.
Here's,
of
here's to here's to dudes. I mean,
and here's girls, to women. Bless yeah, all yeah, of
bless
you.
Bless them too. But
thank you. But here's the dudes.
Damn, they got a lot of shit to deal with.
They do.
Fuck.
And these days, the way they got to—I mean, I couldn't afford my hair if I was a woman. Couldn't afford it,
right? Oh my God! Oh my God,
dude! This has been seriously. Thank you so much. It's been so much
thanks
fucking
for having
fun,
me, bro.
Thank you for coming on. Please again promote everything—the album, everything you want, tour, whatever.
Jeez, I hate doing that stuff, but
do it, bro.
Okay,
that's why you're here,
Andro. New Tommy Lee record, October 15th is the release of the entire record. The singles are out now. Tops and Knock Me Down are out on pretty much all formats, Spotify, Apple Music, blah, 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 pretty much everywhere you get music. And the videos are out. And I can't wait for everyone to hear the whole record.
Yeah.
And the reason for that being is, like, I hate fucking filler tracks. They're not on my projects. I despise those. Like, whatever. There's three good ones. That's enough. That's why I'm excited for people to hear the whole record, because the whole record really is a banger. That's the reason I released two singles at once. People don't typically do that. I wanted people to hear, get a vibe for what the record's like.
Right.
Here's
a male,
the male and a female, energy track. So I think that gives basically a good representation of what to expect on the record. So go out and get it.
It is, man. I'm fucking stoked. Still doing it, dude. And then the tour is now moved, because everything, the 2021 is at
2021. Yeah. We just released the,
I'm coming to see you when you're in LA.
No, you're definitely coming. You're coming, bro. As my guest.
I'm bringing that chick with the boots too, bro.
No, dude, we got to
find her ass, bro. Dude, thank you again, man.
Thank you, my man. Awesome.
Always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.